Just as a sort of warm-up while some people are coming in a little bit later than others, I've been asked to raise the question about the Olympic Games. They're a form of free lunch in terms of the mass media. In fact, all sports are. And how should one look at the whole institution of the Olympic Games and of professional sports and amateur sports, particularly from the standpoint of whether or not they are political? What's your view of that? First of all, could I ask someone to tell us why the modern Olympic Games were started, where and when? That might give us a clue to the later development of the topic. Anyone know? 1894. Why and where? Anyone got any information on that? To train soldiers for the upcoming First World War. There had been major wars in Europe in the 1870s, and there were major colonial wars being fought to try to pacify the so-called natives in Africa and Asia during that whole half century before World War I. And all of the Western European imperial powers, Great Britain, France, Germany, and the lesser ones, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, they all found the same thing. Their soldiers, the cannon fodder, the soldiers that they could recruit or draft, were physically unimpressive characters. They couldn't march long, their endurance was poor, they were poorly developed, they weren't big, they weren't strong. And the purpose of creating the modern Olympic Games was twofold. On the one hand, to encourage young men to become athletic in order to become strong, and at the same time by competing internationally to stimulate their patriotism and loyalty to their country, both being desirable qualities in soldiers. And all of these countries got the same idea at about the same time and cooperated with each other in starting the modern Olympic Games. Remember, there'd been about roughly 1900 years since the last Olympic Games, and the original ones were not at all like the ones we have now. They were amateur affairs. These are typically professional. So the modern Olympic Games started for overtly political reasons. And will it have political consequences if the United States, Canada, and other countries send their athletes to participate in the Olympic Games in Moscow this summer? Will that have political consequences in the world? Have you thought about that? Or is it only that it will have political consequences if we do not send our athletes to compete in those games? What will be the effect of sending our athletes to compete in those games, politically? Come on. To indicate that nobody really is too upset about the Russian activity in Afghanistan. That's correct. Is that a political move? Certainly. So we have a choice. On the other hand, if we don't send our athletes to Moscow, does that have political consequences? Exactly the opposite. We're indicating by this action that we don't approve the Soviet actions in Afghanistan. Yes. I beg your pardon? Well, in many countries, in the Soviet bloc countries, they are paid to learn to be athletes. They never have any illusions about being amateurs with separate jobs. And increasingly, the shell of amateurism is worn thin in the West, you know? Look at the advertisements on the ski jackets of the jumpers. Oh, advertising Avis, advertising Coors beer or whatever. You don't think that they're getting anything more than their bare travel and subsistence out of this? How about amateur tennis players, amateur golfers? They all are either above the table or under the table, receiving incomes from the manufacturers of sporting goods equipment or someplace to support them while they're doing it. The days when amateurs could afford to be pure amateurs were days when the only participants were idle rich who could afford it. And indeed, in the history of the modern Olympic Games in Britain, for example, there are a lot of examples of such pure amateurs. There were a couple of members of the House of Lords who won. Lord Burghley was a 440 hurdler or something like that, for first place winner for two or three Olympic Games in a row. A pure amateur. He didn't need to work. He had money. But for those who don't have money, some way has got to be found for them to eat and dress and survive, and so it is found. So, to come back to the main point about the Olympic Games, I think it illustrates a point which I'll make in many connections in this course, in which I like to quote Mark Twain about, namely, it raises the question, who are you neutral against? It's impossible not to take a political stance in dealing with social relations, including the Olympic Games. If we participate, we're political on one side. If we don't, we're political on the other. You have to make up your mind which side you want to be on. In either case, you're going to be political. Right? Okay. Beg your pardon? You want to comment on that? Well, your hypothesis as to what may happen and yours are really, it seems to me, beside the point. You both may be correct. The point is, though, that the prior decision to support the Olympic Games as now constituted or not constituted, or not to support them, is a political act. And if it is taken, for example, that most of the Western nations will not participate, and if the Soviets then respond by some initiatives of their own, that in itself is the result of the political consequences of the original refusal to participate. You cannot escape the fact that it is a political decision which you have to make. And life is full of them every hour. Yes. What World's Fair? Well, World's Fairs are, I guess it would be interesting to study them in conjunction with Olympics, but they sort of come and go when the occasion seems appropriate rather than on any fixed period. I don't think so. I think it's an ad hoc affair each time. No pun intended. Any other comments on the Olympics? Yes. Well, I don't know whether, I mean, that's an interesting question. You all hear what you were saying, the effect on the athletes of the uncertainty about this kind of thing. I would suppose that you'd find them divided on it, that some would say it doesn't matter, we'll train anyway for our sports because it's important. There are other places we can compete besides the Olympics, and besides we need to show that we are stars so that we can get careers as professionals in some of the sports, like basketball, for example, or boxing. So, it's an interesting point, but I don't think you'll find that people will fall down all on one side of that issue. Any other questions or comments about this Olympic business? See, this is part of our popular culture. This is part of the free lunch material, which is stimulated and built up by the mass media. Do you ever stop to think about the enormous amount of time and attention given in the radio and the newspapers and television to cultivating your consciousness about the importance of supporting Team A or Team B? You get it on the hour with gossip about which hockey players may or may not be traded to the Canucks, from where. You get it by the hour extensively. Gordie Howe can hardly burp without it making a new record. You know? And it's all recorded. Now he's 52, etc., etc., and he scored a goal again. His first was in 1948. Before Truman was elected President of the United States. Now, this is the kind of thing we occupy ourselves with as part of the cultivation of our consciousness in preparation for doing our audience work. So that's the appropriateness of considering this here or in your tutorials. The same sort of treatment could be given to the current election campaign. I mean, you could certainly find a lot of material in there to talk about the process of using audiences, producing audiences to work at marketing political candidates successfully. That's what this whole thing is an exercise in. Right? And I don't know whether any of you heard Harry Boyle, a brief comment on CBC the other morning early. But he had one nice little note, which I'll mention before going back to serious business here this morning. He was saying that what's the name of the candidate in Saskatoon or Prince Albert that's running on, what is it, the rhinoceros or the dinosaur party that he's representing? Rhino. Okay, he said one of his memorable speeches, this man there in Saskatchewan, was to the effect that, well, these other candidates are just dealing in empty slogans. What we need is practical, realistic platform pledges. I make such a pledge. If elected, I will work to solve our energy crisis by digging some deep wells so that we tap the Saudi Arabian oil fields. Right straight through. Well, there's room for all kinds of serious and humorous stuff here in this field.